This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
Good to be in the presence of the Lord this morning, amen. How many feel ministered to already? Yeah. You know, the Bible says that when we worship God, that He actually sets entrapments for our enemies around about us. So that's just a product of a heart that worships the Lord in spirit and in truth. Technically, that means that we should want for nothing. If we can worship with all of our heart, all of our mind, and all of our strength, then everything, every need we have in our life should be met in Jesus. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that a good encouragement for worship this morning? I think so. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to do a bit of a multimeter extravaganza this morning. I've got my, well, it's an extravaganza for me, probably. I've got my iPhone, my iPad, and a computer, and I've got a Bible in there somewhere as well. All right. Some of you will have had this on Facebook from Peter Coburn. He's a administrator down at MPART in Croydon, and he sent this very interesting what is it called on Facebook? It's not an email, is it? Just a message. A post. That's what it is. A post. Not a poke. Okay. All right. He says, on this Sunday, let's remember Captain Pedro Fernandez de Quiros claimed Australia and surrounding islands for Jesus during Pentecost in 1606. Well, that's about 407 years ago. Anyone there then? Okay. I see that hand. Hallelujah. Let the heavens and earth, the waters with all their creatures and those present witness that I, Captain Pedro Fernandez de Quiros, in the name of Jesus Christ, hoist the emblem of this holy cross on which his person was crucified and whereon he gave his life for the ransom and remedy of all the human race. Hallelujah. On this day of Pentecost in 1606, I take possession of all this part of the south as far as the poles in the name of Jesus, and from now on shall be called the southern land of the Holy Ghost, La Australia del Espirito Santo, and this always and forever, and to the end of and to the end that to all natives in all said lands the holy and sacred evangel may be preached zealously and openly. Hallelujah. What a wonderful testimony, what a wonderful statement. And here we are 407 years later, standing, sitting, kneeling in the land of the Holy Spirit, as prophesied by that captain. I've just returned from one of those islands, some of those islands that he was prophesying about. I've been in Indonesia and Malaysia. And it's very, very interesting to see what's going on in that place, in both of those places. Indonesia is an Islamic nation. And what we see happening in both Indonesia and Malaysia is that there is an appropriation of Christian language. An appropriation of Christian language. What that means is simply that Muslims in Indonesia are acknowledging Allah as a God that brings blessing, healing, deliverance, and all the other things that we claim are the sole enterprise of our Saviour. Hallelujah. Now, there's a reason for that. It's because the nation is desperate. It's because that nation, Indonesia, is a nation that is torn apart politically. It's torn apart spiritually. It's torn apart socially. It's not an accident that they call Indonesia the islands that are in the ring of fire, because earthquakes, volcanoes, and all of these natural disasters are a constant and ever-ready presence in that place. And Allah has not delivered deliverance to those people. So they're appropriating Christian language in the hope of finding some way out of their dire circumstance. How many know that only Jesus Christ in a personal relationship with Him can bring any kind of salvation, any kind of hope to humanity? While I was there, I got rather sick. I was in a hotel on the top of a mountain, a hotel from hell, actually, But up there was a church called the Church of the Persecuted Saints. And it was good to meet those people. They didn't look terribly persecuted to me. But Indonesia is a country that knows, the church knows persecution. Very, very real in their lives. Many Christians are being killed, and even as recently as last week, churches in Jakarta are being bombed. There is a spirit that is opposed to Christianity. While I was in Malaysia, again, the appropriation of Christian language is rife in that place. There was a shipment of Gideon's Bibles that were confiscated at the wharf because they contained the word Allah. Now, Allah is a name of God. These are Gideon's Bibles. Whenever they were printed in Bahasa Malaysia language, and in Bahasa Malaysia language, the name Allah is used for the name of God. Now, they're saying that that Christians should not have right to that name, and that they should be using the name Tuhan. Some of you may remember Jeremiah Yap when he was here a couple of years ago. He was having a conversation about that. Well, when I was in Malaysia, there was demonstrations in the street about the use of the name Allah. There was the guys with the little hat and the little goatees. There was hundreds and thousands of them protesting that the government should do something to stop the Christians using the name of God. That's the world we live in. Now, mind you, I'm of the mindset that they can have Allah. I don't want Allah. But as far as my research goes, I understand Allah to be a god, a moon god, an Arabian god that was there back in the desert when Muhammad got his revelations. He's actually a moon god. He's not the creator of the universe and everything in it. He does not bring salvation. So these are interesting things that are going on in the world. Interesting things. You know, the Bible says that in the last days, people will be lovers of themselves. What that means is that people are hanging on to things that they believe in. They won't let them go because it feeds into their self-belief, their idea and concept they have about themselves. It is a proud spirit. It is a spirit of pride, and it's opposed to the spirit of humility that comes by the Holy Ghost. Can only come by the Holy Ghost. India, likewise, is teetering on the brink of upheaval as we talk this morning. You know, Tim and I were in India recently, as you know, and you know, we were hiding out because there's so much pressure upon the church there. And they're having an election very, very soon, and there is a ferment about which government will come in. One government will release laws that ban Christianity. The other government will come in. They will strengthen them. And so there's an incredible spiritual battle going on there. Just last week, a pastor in Secunderabad, not far from where we were staying, was beaten to death, walking down the street with his wife and children. He was beaten to death in a modern city like Hyderabad. Imagine if it was in Melbourne. Imagine if it happened here. He was doing nothing. And it's just, I must commend the Church of India. As far as I know, they haven't risen up in retaliation, but they're praying for those people that beat him to death. It's a great thing. It's a maturity that's coming on the church, because we are living in very, very uncertain times. I know Australia is a comfortable place, and I'm so glad God has planted me in this nation. Hallelujah. But if we look at our own nation, we think, yes, you know, the economy's flat, it's stagnating, it's just not moving on and all of these things, but we don't know half the problems that the world has experienced. We rejected, what, a couple of thousand boat people over the last year, something like that. I can tell you that all around the world there are millions and millions and tens of millions of people that are homeless, that are refugees because of the turmoil that's in the world, the turmoil that's round about them. Millions of Syrians, Muslims, have had to go and flee to Turkey and Jordan and other countries because of turmoil. It's happening in Africa, in Somalia, in Sudan, and all over the world. It's the modern thing, that there's this great movement of people who are fleeing persecution in its many forms. You know, Jesus is the only answer. Jesus is the only answer. I don't care if we're flooded by people. I don't care. If we can't go to them, let God bring them to us, because the gospel is the only answer. And he's no respecter of person. He doesn't care about colour or creed or anything else. Hey, I'm happy I live in this country. Believe me. Believe me. I've seen what it's like out there. You know, I want to talk today about what Jesus calls the beginning of birth pains. You know, in Matthew chapter 24, I think it is, he talks about in the last days there will be wars and rumours of wars. Amen. All of these things will start to take place. There'll be volcanoes and earthquakes and many things. And he says, don't be concerned about any of them. Don't trouble yourselves with these things. And there's a reason for that. And as that reason was touched on last week when David was ministering on the Word of God. And that's because we do not belong to the kingdom of this world. We belong to another kingdom. Australia will pass away. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It will. We're sojourners here. We don't belong to this country. It's a privilege to be in this part of the world, but it's not ours. It's God's. Actually, it's not even God's. He's given over authorities or some other power. Right now, we're suffering that. Let's just go to the book of Daniel, if you will. Daniel chapter 6. And I just want to touch on a couple of scriptures there. You know, when Daniel was in the lion's den. We all know that story. You know, he was in the lion's den and he was miraculously delivered out of that place. And when he came out, King Darius was so amazed at this magnificent divine deliverance that he made a proclamation for all the kingdoms of the earth. And I'll read it from maybe verse 23 in Daniel chapter 6. The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted in his God. There's a whole message in that right there. No wound was found on him. He's amongst fierce, ferocious, hungry lions, but his trust was in God. Hallelujah. There was no mark upon him. Consider that this morning. Verse 24, at the king's command, the men who had falsely accused Daniel were brought in and thrown into the lion's den. Some people say that the lions weren't hungry. We'll read this. Along with their wives and children, and before they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed them and crushed all their bones. Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and men of every language throughout the land. That's everybody that was known at that particular time. And he wrote this, I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. Now, that's an interesting passage of scripture right there. How many would like if, say, Tony Abbott stood up and proclaimed that very same thing? If Tony Abbott got on the news today and said, I proclaim today that every one of us must fear the Lord. Hallelujah. Don't you think there'd be a bit of an uprising? Don't you think there'd be a few voices in opposition to him right there? Huh. It's true. It's because, you know, we're not under a law situation anymore. We're under a season of grace, a season of grace. And we want, and God wants, and Jesus wants people to freely understand what it is to fear the Lord, not to be legislated. Imagine that, if it was legislated that you must fear the Lord, like your taxes. Okay, have you feared the Lord this week? How much have you feared the Lord this year? How has that affected your behavior? How has that affected your decision-making, the plans that you've been making? Is it under the fear of God? Or is it a comfortable lifestyle? Come on, Tony. Hallelujah. And he goes on. For he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. We're living in a kingdom that will never be destroyed. And it's not on this planet Earth. It's not dependent upon our incomes or anything else. It's dependent upon our relationship with Jesus Christ. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. And that's the kingdom that we inhabit today. We inhabit a kingdom where we are saved, where signs and wonders should be manifest in our lives. Now, here's a challenge. You can get $1,000, you can go down to Melbourne Airport, you can bung it on the table there and say, give me a return ticket to Indonesia. You can be there in 5 hours, 6 hours, okay? You can hop off the plane, you can walk out of the plane, the airport, you can hop on a train. You can travel on a train for 2 or 3 hours and you will be in the midst of people that have never, ever heard of Jesus. That simple, as easy as that. In a day, in an afternoon's work, you will have an opportunity to proclaim the gospel to a kingdom that hasn't heard the gospel good news. Here's the challenge. How much easier for us here in Mombok? Huh? You don't need the $1,000. You don't need to get a visa. You're already here. You're already in an alien kingdom. Already in an alien place that's waiting, that's desperate, that needs to see signs and wonders performed. And I don't care what form that takes. It can be in a sign and a wonder if you just help your neighbour mow the lawn. Hallelujah. If I can mow my own lawn, that'd be a wonder. Hallelujah. But let's go over to, we can't decree by law anymore. We have to decree by actions only. You know, Jesus says, love your neighbour as you love yourself. And that neighbour is anyone other than you. Pretty simple. In other words, love everybody equally. What is love? The word love, another translation for the word love is charity. Yeah. Practice charity with everyone you see. It doesn't need to be especially material. Charity can be a word of encouragement. Charity can be a word of advice. Charity can be helping someone cross the road. Although I heard a story on the radio about an old lady that some well-wisher helped across the road, and she hit him with her bag and said, I don't want to cross the road. So be wise in what you do, okay? But we are living, we are operating in a spiritual world. Do you know that? You know, when I see these little bearded guys on the TV, something within me, the flesh, rises up. But they're not my enemy. They're my neighbor whom I'm supposed to love. My enemy is unseen. He's a spiritual power in high places. Now, come with me over a chapter in the book, Daniel. I probably can't read the whole passage. I would love to. But not, most of us know this story. There is in this story, Daniel chapter 7, verse 2, Daniel said, he's having a vision, he's lying on his bed, and he has this incredible, amazing vision. Something that attracted me to Christianity all those years ago was when I was visiting Konya before we were married, and I opened her Bible and I read the book of Ezekiel. I said, that stuff's wild, that's crazy, all those wheels within the wheels. Do you guys really believe that? I said, wow, I want some of that. You know, Lucent said pretty psychedelic to me. Hallelujah. But anyway, Daniel's having one of these visions and he says, I looked and there before me were four winds of heaven churning up the great sea. Four great beasts, each different from the others, came from out of the sea. Now, expositors will tell us that those four great beasts are various kingdoms that have been within our culture. How many know that? You know, what are they? They're the Greek, the Roman, the Medo-Persian kingdom, and there's another one, Babylonian kingdom. But, you know, this is a book of prophecy, and prophecy is history in reverse. And sure, some of these natural kingdoms may have already been fulfilled in prophecy, but what remains with us today is the spiritual truth that there are four spirits operating within the world today. Actually, five. The fifth one is the Antichrist. And each one of them has a particular nature. That's why we're not of those kingdoms. That's why God has called us to another kingdom. And yet we're operating in a planet that is controlled by those spirits. Amen? You're with me there today. Okay. The lion, remember, I'm not going to read it because we don't have the time. The lion was given the heart of man. It was the Babylonian kingdom. How many people have given over their hearts to the Babylonian kingdom in our culture today? How many people prefer to chase after mammon and materialism and the things of this world today? It's a common problem. We don't criticize it. We don't even notice it half the time, but it's a reality. It's a spirit that's operating. People are more comfortable getting big, huge television, blah, 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 and all the rest of it than they are about finding the truth. They think there's comfort in there. The second one was the bear. The bear, and the bear is a devourer of the flesh. Now, last week, David spoke about the flesh. You know, the Bible word for that is sarx. It's the flesh. And David said, you know, hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we're talking about the sarx. Now, David spoke to us, and you should really get that MP3 file, about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's the bear. That's the Persian kingdom. Everybody, most people are involved in pursuing those lusts and those pride. Hallelujah. So there is... there is the lust of the flesh, the lust of eyes, and the pride of life. The next creature is the leopard, and he has authority to rule. He has control of our destiny. He controls the destiny of people. The leopard has authority to rule. Many people's destiny, and we know, is not a positive one. Is that right? A lot of people we know, their destiny, no matter how well they're living their lives today, no matter how comfortable or whatever, their destiny, their ultimate whereabouts, the ultimate place where they will spend eternity is not a good place. And so these spirits are operating in the world today. They're still there. It's a spiritual truth, a spiritual reality. These four spirits don't have authority anymore, but they have the power to oppress. It's called spiritual oppression. And that's a truth that we inhabit today. Spiritual oppression. It's everywhere. And we as a church are the only ones equipped and ready to be able to handle the spiritual oppression that is destroying this planet. God doesn't care about the planet so much. He knows it's going to pass away, but he cares about people. He cares about people. He cares about the Somalian. He cares about the Sudanese rebel that's parked in some desert somewhere, angry at the whole world because he has nothing. He cares about the Syrian people that have been made homeless by the interminable civil war, which was prophesied in the Bible that within the Arabs, brother would rise against brother. And that's exactly what we're seeing all through the Middle East now. And yet, you know, we can sit back smugly thinking, well, that's Arabs against Arabs, but God loves everyone. One of them. And God has called us to be a witness to every one of them somehow. Somehow. In days gone by, the church controlled a lot of society. Did you know that? The church in days gone by controlled education. The schools were run by churches in Australia, in England, in many Western nations. Not only the church, but hospitals were run by churches, you know. All of that's been given over, given back to man, given back to the world system. And is it any wonder that Christianity is dwindling in our nation? We need to find other ways to minister the truth of God's word, minister the gospel to people. Where are the churches when the refugees arrive on our shores? You know, if you go down to the refugee centre in Melbourne today, you'll be surrounded by a bunch of humanist, New Age people that have got access and right to every refugee. You'll be hard-pressed to find a Christian anywhere near there, and those type of the Christians that are there are of a very secular, humanistic nature. I'm sorry, but that is a reality. That's happening worldwide. You don't see the churches in the Turkish camps. You don't see the church operating in the Sudanese refugee camps. And you complain when terrorists attack a shopping centre. It's because the church has laid down its responsibility to minister to those that God loves so much. I'm so proud to be part of a church that does minister, and I'll try and get this going.
I'm proud of to be part of a church that does minister in other nations. Remember the four-wheel drive that we had a few last year? And it crashed. Remember the crash, Tim? Yeah. Hallelujah. I think 4 days after we got it, it crashed. And there it is again. It's back on the road, fully rebuilt. And it's okay. I can see it there. Everyone look behind you. Okay. And right now, Anand Paul is in Chhattisgarh State. That was a state, Tim, that we couldn't go to because there was unrest there. There was a few problems there. He's been there for 2 months. Because of the four-wheel drive, he could never have done that before. He's reaching unreached people group. You've all heard me talk about that before. But he's been there for 2 months. When I try to talk, don't bother me, brother. I'm too busy. I've got to reach the lost. But how are the orphans? Don't bother me. We're too busy here. You know, because of that four-wheel drive. Look behind you again. I don't know whether this is a Guinness Book of Records attempt. I'm not sure whether they all hopped out of that vehicle or not, or we're about to hop in. But there they are in Chhattisgarh with a whole lot of believers and a whole lot of people that we have reached. Hallelujah. We've done that. Hallelujah. We have pushed back the kingdom of the darkness. We've pushed back the spirits of this earth. Amen. And we have released souls into an everlasting eternal kingdom. Now, I get encouraged. I hope you get encouraged by that. But not every one of you is called, as we know, to go to those places. Some of you are that don't even know it yet. I'll talk to you later about that. But we are called. We are called, right? Matthew 28:19, to do what? Be witnesses. Be witnesses. What's a witness? Someone that has seen something. What have you seen? You've seen Jesus transform your own life. Hallelujah. So you're a witness to the gospel, not only in Mombok, but anywhere you go. If you hop on a plane tomorrow and fly to Malaysia and get off, be a witness. Bear witness. You might get in trouble there, but hallelujah, God is God. All right. So I just want to end here right now on a happy note. And there's some happy people waving to Mombok Christian Fellowship from Chhattisgarh and saying thank you, thank you, thank you very much for providing that vehicle. And as a missions coordinator this year, we've got some really great plans and events ready and installed for this coming year. I want you, when you go and get a tea and coffee, to have a look at the little children's pictures. How many have seen the little children's pictures? They're on the wall there. They're our orphan children. Okay, and June and Tim have done a great job in getting their names. Tim under a lot of duress when we weren't allowed to be in the orphanage because of the police presence, quickly taking photographs and getting all that work done so that we can have a connection. You know, it's all about relationship, isn't it? You know, it's all about delivering people from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. That's what it's about. And we have to have a relationship, fellowship with these ones. So, you know, I'm hoping we can book a jumbo in November, December. Hallelujah. Anyone? I can't see the hands. I know there's thousands of them because it's too dark. So God bless you all. Hallelujah. I just want to finish on Daniel 6 again, where we just were. And I want to read that again. For he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. And he can deliver every one of us if we trust in him. He can deliver you from a mundane life and give you an exciting ministry that you never even thought you could have. Hallelujah. I hope you're excited. Father God, we just lift up your holy name before your throne this morning, because your name is above every name. It is a name at which every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess your lordship. Father, as your Holy Spirit blows through this house today, I pray that you would touch every heart, every life, Lord God, and give us that ability to deliver, to save, to minister in signs and wonders, to operate as a kingdom member in this planet that's so rapidly going to hell. Father, anoint us for the task that is ahead for 2014. Lord God, that we can bring the fear of the Lord into the community in which you planted us. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Monbold Christian Fellowship.